So we came to the victory. To the clearing up of the mess, with the BBC now fully grown up, larger in stature, in size, and in influence. To cup finals.
Now, Morris, a nice pass, finds Atwell. Chews on to him, though. Puts it back through to Whittaker. Whittaker out to Duffy. Duffy being tackled by Morris, and the whistle's gone for a free kick against Morris. Oh, the ball first. Well, my word. That's the second time in two successive cup finals that that million-to-one chance, as referee Smith told me in the broadcast, only about a couple of hours before last year's cup final, was a million-to-one against the ball bursting, and this is the second cup final in which it's burst in succession. I think it's the only two occasions on which it's ever occurred, and the ball has burst in this cup final in the 30th minute of the game.
To boat races. John Snagg.
Here they come now, round the last bend, coming up to the finishing. We can see the bridge ahead of us, about 150 yards to go, 200 yards to go. Oxford caps waving in the air, Cambridge caps waving in the air. Oxford leading, Oxford about, I think, 5 or 6 feet ahead. That's about all. They're coming up now. They're both crews ripping up the stroke and coming into rail fighting finish. They're both crews that obviously had the most grueling race, one of the greatest races that had ever been, boat races ever had, and the perfect conditions too. Oxford in the lead, I think. I don't know, but I think. It's almost neck and neck. It's level, I should think. I'm not quite sure. It must be level. Cambridge bringing up the stroke. I think Cambridge are ahead. I don't know who's ahead. It's either Oxford or Cambridge. It's neck and neck the whole way over. There's about less than 100 yards to go.
To Royal Weddings.
We take you first to Frank Gillard outside Buckingham Palace.
Well, here at the palace, we are waiting for that moment for the arrival of the carriage procession of the bride. And I'm looking from my position here at the foot of the Queen Victoria Memorial. I'm looking through into the quadrangle, and there, right across on the far side of the palace, I can see a white figure, and I think it must be Her Royal Highness about to come and enter her coach with His Majesty the King for her drive to the Abbey. Meantime, the crowd out here, as you can expect, is absolutely on tiptoe with expectancy. Away over on the right, they've completely broken through the police cordon. They swarmed across the road, and it's quite hopeless for the police to attempt to get them back. And there are the orders, and there is Her Royal Highness about to enter the coach. And again, we shall hear, I think, the national anthem.
BBC landmarks like Listen with Mother, Woman's Hour, Mrs. Dale's Diary.
Yesterday, Gwen and I went over to Parkwood Hill to see the new house. The Lorries were away on their holiday, except for the doctor, but we didn't see him, although his car was outside their house. Sally came with us, and she hadn't seen the house yet.
And a whole sequence of new shows which were going to stay with us for years. Dick Barton, Desert Island Discs, Have a Go.
And here is Wilfred Pickle.
Ladies and gentlemen of Ramsbottom, how do? How are you?
What are women wearing in shoes this year?
Feet!
Correct. Pay that man 5 shillings. What is an unlucky man?
A man who gets the itch and a broken arm at the same time.
Correct. Pay that man 10 shillings. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you have two sublimely happy men because...
Ignorance is bliss. And as living proof that it's folly to be wise, we present three inmates from a fool's paradise, Mr. Michael Moore, Miss Gladys Hay, and Mr. Harold Behrens. Also our orchestra, Dr. Crock and his crackpots, and the man who thinks the most beautiful words in the English language are, you have been listening to Ignorance is Bliss, your quizmaster, Mr. Stuart McPherson.
Round the Horn.
Well, hello, that was Douglas Smith, who'd like to clear something up. And so he should. He spilled it, after all. Now, today, as everybody knows, is Festoon a Gnome with Bacon Rind Day. And to mark the occasion, London is in festive mood. Now, at Aldgate, there's an exhibition of chicken trembling given by the Ladbroke Grove Buddhist Girl Pipers. At Chiswick Bars, there's the washroom attendant's annual flannel dance and Zabaglione show. There's barrister nudging at Q, and the two-man inter-rabbi bobsled championships will be held as usual down the escalators at Leicester Square Tube Station. That, of course, is weather and platform tickets permitting. But I myself will head for the Muffin Mongers Hall, which, as you know, is in Cheapside, where the over-80s nudist glee club are holding their bring-and-buy sale. Now, I'm interested in not so much what they bring as what they bring it in. So, Smith, make the announcement, will you?
Round the horn, colour supplement.
First on the fashion scene, Daphne White Thigh.
Hello. Uniforms are still high fashion, and anyone who wants to be in the forefront is wearing one. I had a letter recently which said, "Dear Daphne, the other night I put on my old military uniform and tagged along with a crowd in the King's Road similarly dressed. Imagine my surprise when the next morning I found myself on patrol in Singapore." What do you advise? Signed, Second Lieutenant Mary Quant, Brigade of Guards. Well, my advice is, keep your eyeshadow to the minimum and nobody will notice. I have one last piece of fashion news. A top designer tells me that although bosoms are still out, there's a rumor in haute couture circles that they may be on their way back.
And I shall keep a light burning in the window.
Take it from here.
Come on, Ron. It's your dad. You're all right, Ron. Come on, there's nothing wrong with you.
Try forcing his head between his knees.
Righto, Ed.
Oh, no, not that way, Mr. Glover. Forwards.
Oh, forwards. Just leave it to me. Come on, Ron, you'll be all right. He's coming round. Now then, give me that water off there, Ed.
But Mr. Clummy...
Get it, Ed, and give it here. Now then, boy, sip this. Sip it gently. Mm. Sip it, lad. Gently, gently, gently. You gulp like that and you'll swallow the goldfish.
Oh, my head. Where am I?
You're all right, beloved. You've had a bit of a knock on the head.
Who are you? And who's that fat man who smells of beer?
Now, then, why don't you come in them clever cuts with me?
Mr. Glum, he doesn't remember us. Hey? Ron, beloved, that's your dad. And you know who I am.
My mum?
Ron, oh, Ron, beloved, you're still dazed. Shake your head.
My head?
Oh, dear, 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 you remember what that is, don't you? It's what separates your cap from your collar. Give it a shake. Here, let me do it. That'll cure him.
Mr. Clum, be careful.
Well, it always works when the television goes wrong. How do you feel now, Ron?
My mind is just a blank.
There you are, Eff. I knew it would work.
The goons.
Now, Neddy, the prisoners are getting restless.
What? They had Sabrina for the cabaret last night? I mean...
Yes, I know culture's all very well, Neddy, but... what the lads really need is a holiday.
Holiday?
Where? Well, I've spoken to the lads.
Yes. Nice of you.
And they all had their hearts set on the south of France.
But I can't let them out of prison.
But of course not, Neddy. We'll take the prison with us.
But you can't move the prison. People will talk.
Neddy... we're going to leave a cardboard replica.
Oh, I see, yes. Ah, but wait a minute. Where are we going to stay in France?
Ah. I've made arrangements with one of the French governments for our prison to be the guest of the Chateau d'If, the historic Gallic penitentiary.
Well, I must say it all sounds very attractive indeed.
Yes.
Yes. I'll agree to it.
Good. Then unchain our visas and we'll all be off.
Get up there. Get up there. It was a wonderful experience to be jogging along the Queen's Highway in one of Her Majesty's prisons on this fine morning. Get up there! A gypsy am I, I travel the road, who cares? The lark in the sky, to bid you goodbye, I travel the road, hello!
You silly, twisted governor.
The Archers.
Daddy, Flash! Daddy!
Hey, watch her, Grace. She's terrified.
Oh, my God, this is ghastly. Get out of it, quickly.
This is Isabella and Judy in those boxes at the end.
Yes, all right, but you get out, Grace. Go on, get out.
Look. Can you take the pony?
Yes, I'll try. Now, come on. Steady, Judy, steady. It's all right, old girl.
Oh, out of the ceiling, fallen. It started the straw in the boxes near the door. We'll have a hell of a job getting the horses past.
Well, drive them. Come on, get up. Go on, stupid, move.
Bill! Bill!
Stand clear, Grace. We're coming out in a rush.
Come on, Judy.
Sling your coat over her head. Now, come on.
All out now.
Yes, take these two. Okay, I've got Judy.
I've got the other.
It's an inferno in there. They're supposed to be as dry as a tinder. Come on, get well away.
Midnight! Midnight! Woo!
Oh, my gosh, we're lucky to get him out.
Yes, certainly were.
What's up?
Midnight couldn't have been tidied. Look, she's going back into the stable.
What?
No, Grace. No, don't do it.
She's going in after midnight.
Grace! Grace! Grace, come back. The roof's collapsing. For God's sake, Grace, come back!
Phil! Phil, you fool!
Let me go! Grace is in there! Let me go, blasted!
20 questions.
Good evening, and once again, welcome to another edition of 20 Questions. Thank you. Well, there's not much more that I can say other than what I've been saying for 3 years. They're all here, and we're ready with object number one. And the first object is animal.
Down your way.
Well, today we've been in the border country between Wales and England, really over the Wales border, but not very far from the frontier, so to speak, in among some very friendly people. And next week, when we make our down your way visit, we shall be in border country south of Edinburgh, between Scotland and England. So until then, until we meet in Jedburgh, in Roxburghshire, it's goodbye from the Down Your Way team.
Radio reporters in all kinds of situations.
Last night at 10:30 p.m. British summer time, six RAF vampires touched down at St. Hubert Airport, Montreal, to complete the first transatlantic jet crossing in history.
Hello, BBC. Well, now we're turning, and we're going to do a speed run up to the very edge of the barrier of the speed of sound in this meteor. And now at the moment, she's reading 450 miles an hour, and we're going down in a dive from 10,000 feet, 11,000 feet. I'm holding my nose and pinching my ears out so that the diaphragms don't get pinched. And we're building up the speed now to 500 indicated, and she's wobbling. She's wobbling and tittering, and my teeth are rattling, and that is the rattle that you're getting now. The barrier of the speed of sound as we come up to it now at indicated speed of over 500 miles an hour, which is very much faster, really, at a height of 10,000 feet. And so at something what is near, well over 600 miles an hour, really, we ran into the barrier of the speed of sound.
And in that run, corrected for height, we were actually doing between 81 and 82% of the speed of sound, or 618 miles an hour, the fastest recording yet made.
Voices of news reporters brought world events which made history.
This is Bernard Moore speaking from the headquarters of the United Nations at Lake Success. The final agreement on the lifting of the Berlin blockade and 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 on the lifting of the Berlin blockade in New York.
There were new wars, the stalemate of Korea, the death of George VI in 1952 and his funeral.
Now the bearer party moved towards the gun carriage. And the coffin, covered by the royal standard, is piped aboard. As it is lowered to the gun carriage. And in a moment now, Big Ben will sound a minute bell. And that is the first of 56 minute bells, one for each year of the king's life. And as the deep tone comes reverberating down, the cortege and the procession prepare to move. Now, the queen, that dark, sorrowing figure, comes out from under the canopy and is assisted into the royal coach. She's followed by the Queen Mother, Princess Margaret, and the Princess Royal. The Queen Mother, that most gracious lady who played so great a part in her husband's dedicated life, whose smile and whose courage, whose inspiring bearing through all the difficult days, her subjects remember with such gratitude. And here we think, as we wait for the cortege to move, of Her Majesty Queen Mary and her great fortitude and devotion. Queen Mary alone, so much alone at Marlborough House.
The coronation of Queen Elizabeth II.
Bless, we beseech thee, this crown, and so sanctify thy servant Elizabeth, upon whose head this day thou dost place it, for a sign of royal majesty, that she may be filled by thine abundant grace with all princely virtues, through the King eternal, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Queen is still sitting in King Edward's chair. The princes and princesses, the peers and peeresses, prepare to put on their coronets and caps, and the kings of arms their crowns. The Archbishop, assisted by other bishops, comes from the altar. The Dean of Westminster brings the crown. The Archbishop takes it from the crimson cushion. He raises it high in the sight of the people and reverently places it on the Queen's head. Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, is crowned.
No doubt historians will look back and see in this royal event of June 1953 a watershed in the affairs of the BBC. Suddenly people found that they could see the Queen. Television had begun its swift climb to immense importance and influence. Sound radio would still cover the events, but the mass audiences would move slowly and irrevocably to television. Alf Garnett, and that was the week that was, would alter the image of the rather prissy maiden aunt, which the BBC, unwittingly perhaps, had preserved for so long.
Look, you want to read something, Sonny. You want to read something a bit edifying, something a bit educative.
Educative?
Yeah.
Well, what are you reading anyway? Mickey Spillane?
No, not Mickey Spillane. No. Mrs. Whitehouse, isn't it? Mrs. Mary Whitehouse.
Mrs. Mary Whitehouse?
Yeah.
What, the clean-up TV woman?
What, that...
Yes, and that woman... that woman is concerned for the moral welfare of your country, isn't she? The moral fibre that is being rotted away via corrupt television.
Yeah, blimey, look, if she had her way, all you'd get on television is Pinky and Perky and Bloody Noddy.
And Mrs. Burley, Mrs. Burley,
Thursday.
I like Mrs. Thursday.
Yeah.
I think she's nice.
Yeah, well, rubbish, that is.
Look, it's better than all that filthy muck the BBC bung on there, isn't it? A pure filth they put on there some nights. I mean, look at it, at the junction. And at the Come Home Cafe, Come Home. It's disgusting, eh, was?
Well, it's truth, isn't it?
Well, look, it's showing up. It's here, showing up, as Mrs. Whitehouse says, showing up a working class woman as dirty and promiscuous.
Well, it is truth, isn't it? I saw those plays and it's truth.
Truth?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. People do live like that.
You scarce git. They might live like that up bloody Liverpool. Not down here, they don't. Down this street, Sonny.
Oh, look, they were plays trying to show you how some people have to live through false circumstances.
Play?
Yeah.
Play? That was filth, that was. Pure, unadulterated, bloody BBC filth. That's what that was.
Cobblers.
No more about cobblers, look.
And that was the week that was.
That was the week that was. It's over, let it go. 52 times a year, the week is done and over with before you know. The world and the weather help fashion a week. The lunatic thoughts politicians will speak. The hindsight that always illumines the press. The sex life of film stars a general mess. The one week the cabinet gets rearranged. The next week April Ashley says, nothing has changed.
For those of you who are still feeling a little downhearted about Britain's diminishing place in the world, let me read you a list of the colonies we've still got. Fiji, Mauritius, Swaziland, the New Hebrides, Condominium, Pitcairn, Virgin Islands, Gozo, Western Samoa, the Maldive Islands, and Sweet Rockall.
That was the week that was. It's over, let it lie. 52 times a year, the glad weeks and the sad weeks, they will go on by.
The Steptoes.
Well, underhand, sneaky, conniving, crafty, just like your mother, God rest her soul.
Then I have no idea.
You haven't got the guts to say it straight to me face, have you? Spineless, that's what you are. Oh, it's a fine thing, isn't it? Your own flesh and blood wanted to hide your way out of sight. Forgotten. I'm your father. Don't that mean anything to you?
Oh, look, now, Dad, you're overwrought. Come on, sit down, sit down. Take your coat off and put your feet
down. Don't touch me.
Dad, you've got hold of the wrong end of a stick.
Can you look me straight in the eye, your own father, and deny that you was trying to put me into an old people's home?
Would you like a drink?
No.
Men in Space.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news. All Moscow is waiting to give a hero's welcome to the world's first spaceman, Major Gagarin of the Soviet Air Force. And to begin the bulletin, here's a Moscow recording of his voice speaking to Russian scientists as he went through space.
Assassinations.
There were three shots. The president slumped into the car as his wife, Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy, cried, "Oh, no," and cradled his head. The Secret Service men immediately speeded up the motorcade to hospital as the crowd dissolved into pandemonium. The motorcade was passing through some of the biggest crowds that had turned out to see the president on this tour. Some men and women threw themselves onto the ground. In the emergency room at the hospital to which the president was rushed, blood transfusions were given straight away and a call went out for more blood of the B positive group, which was the president. But it was too late. Two Catholic priests gave President Kennedy the last rites of the Catholic Church. He was the first Catholic president of the United States. He died 35 minutes after the shooting.
A soccer World Cup victory.
England 2, West Germany 2 in this very even still World Cup final of 1966. A long kick from Tilkowski, headed away by Jack Charlton down to Nobby Stiles. Stiles with a long ball through to Ball, and Ball will run for all he's worth after this one. He turns it in. Can Hurst get a shot in? There's a chance for Jeff Hurst, and he's hit the bar. It must be a goal. I would have thought that went in.
but he's not given it. I thought that hit the bar and went in, Maurice Edelston. I'm not certain. Yes, it's given. It's given. England are in the lead.
Anniversaries like Alastair Cook's 1,000th letter from America.
Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish that this 1,000th letter could be about the spring, or American children, or any one of the many amiable things we've talked about down the years. But it must be about the thing that bewilders the American people like nothing else in all these 1,000 weeks. For last week, the administration was brought to the bar of a standing committee of Congress, and nothing, either in a parliamentary or a federal system, can offer such an inquisition as a congressional inquiry, which is the nerve system of what Americans like to call the democratic process.
Then suddenly the 70s were upon us with its new sounds and new noises. Some of us were 50 years older. Everything had changed, they said. To some of us, it didn't feel as if anything had changed at all.
And as this service comes to an end, with Flight Major Thomas Anderson, Regimental Sergeant Major of the 5th Scottish Regiment and one-time Pipe Major of the Cameronians, and wearing the full uniform of that regiment in which Lord Reith served during the 1914-18 war, he comes from the Henry III Chapel, past the altar, down the full length of the Abbey to the west door, playing a Scottish lament. There's no doubt that had Lord Reith known that a service of thanksgiving for his life and work would have been held at Westminster Abbey, he would have protested that he was not worthy of such an honour. But had he realised how many of his friends, associates and those who worked with him would be gathered together to pay their tributes, he would have been very deeply touched. Those of us who knew him and worked with him will, as we stand and listen to this lament, recall to our souls with pride our own personal memories, not only of his remarkable achievements and his leadership, but of the man as we knew him, John Charles Warsham Reith.